I am joining you again from our Emergency Operations Center. I hope you are staying healthy, and I especially hope you are staying safe at home as much as is possible. Now, as you know, I like to check in near the beginning of each week to give you all a situation report for our city. And before I give you an overview, I do want to let you know that yesterday we confirmed that one of our own sworn St. Pete police officers had a positive test for COVID-19. Now, that officer's supervisor was notified, and Chief Holloway has sent a memo to all employees. The officer was on vacation when he became ill, has not been on duty, and has not been in contact with other city or police personnel since March 10th. We have no reason to believe any other officers have been exposed. But this should serve as a stark reminder that COVID-19 knows no boundaries, it doesn't discriminate, and it can infect anyone, including our first responders. Our thoughts are with this officer and with his family and everyone at the St. Petersburg Police Department, and we look forward to welcoming him back on duty. As for the rest of the city, here's where we stand as of this morning. We had 97 confirmed cases here in St. Petersburg, 380 confirmed cases in Pinellas County, and 8 deaths here in Pinellas. Now, if you follow me on Facebook or Twitter, you may have seen a graph that I posted over the weekend that shows the breakdown by age here in Pinellas. The graph basically shows that there is no age discrimination when it comes to the virus. In fact, one of the age groups that is the most prone to being infected in Pinellas is ages 24 through 34. And this is roughly the same age group that I see still not taking this as seriously as we would like them to. But overall, St. Pete, you're doing a fantastic job. And I believe the actions that we've taken, and assuming we continue to aggressively take them, will ultimately flatten the curve sooner or to a greater degree than first anticipated. And if that happens, I won't need to take any additional actions or impose any additional restrictions or closures. But as I've said before, and I'll continue to say this, we need all age groups, and specifically our young people who think they're invincible, to understand that safer at home means you are safer at home. Neither Pinellas nor the governor issued a safer while social distancing order. They issued a safer at home order. Now, our park system is for exercising. It's not for congregating. Our parks are for riding your bike, for jogging or running, not for sitting in a hammock or a lawn chair reading a book or sitting with friends at a picnic table eating lunch. They're not for destination recreation. There is simply no reason for me to get in my car and drive to Vinoy Park or Straub Park when I can go for a bike ride or walk in my own neighborhood or in the park that's nearest to where I live. And if I continue to get reports of pickleball and tennis courts that are filled with players and folks waiting to play, all of whom are not social distancing, or people sitting on benches next to each other in between games, clearly not maintaining appropriate social distances, I will close those courts. Make no mistake about that. So come on, St. Pete. Let's work hard at being safer at home. And if you must be out and about, a new wrinkle has been suggested. Not only do we want you to follow the CDC guidelines related to social distancing, the CDC is now also recommending you wear a cloth face covering. As the CDC says, a simple cloth face covering can slow the spread of the virus and help people who may not even be aware that they have the virus from transmitting it to others. Please don't use a surgical mask or an N95 respirator. Those are critical supplies that must be reserved for healthcare workers and our other first responders. And I also don't want you to get a false sense of security that if you're wearing a cloth face mask and you can go out more, you can shop more frequently, you can go to the park more frequently. The rules related to staying at home and being safer at home still apply, even if you're wearing a cloth face mask. Now, before I take a few questions, I want to mention our Fighting Chance Fund for our small businesses and their employees. We are in an emergency situation, and the health of our residents is at risk, but as is the health of our economy. It is an emergency when the very thing that makes St. Pete so special, our small businesses, are being shuttered. And you've probably heard me talk about this a gazillion times, and I'll continue to talk about it. Our small, locally owned businesses, that's what gives St. Pete its feel, its culture, its flavor. It's what makes St. Pete different. From our small business tours, where we go out and meet with our small businesses, to working with them through the greenhouse, we care deeply about our small businesses, and we want them to still be around when we get on the other side of this thing. So our Deputy Mayor, Dr. Tomlin, gave an overview of the fund last Friday, and you can find that video on our city's Facebook and YouTube page. But I want to again share the website, stpete.org/Fighting Chance Fund. stpete.org/Fighting Chance Fund. Applications for eligible businesses and employees will be available April the 9th. And we've set aside nearly $7 million for this purpose. But given the need that's out there in our city, we recognize that these funds won't be able to provide assistance to all in need. And because these are limited funds, they will be distributed on a first submitted and correctly completed application basis. So please use the time between today and Thursday to make sure that you have all the documents that you need and the information that you need. Have them all in order so that when you complete and submit your claim, it doesn't get rejected because it's incomplete. Use this time wisely. It's your chance. So from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you, St. Pete, for everything that you're doing, for hanging in there during these difficult and obviously very strange times that we're living in. Continue to be creative and innovative in how you're making the best of this difficult situation. Use technology to reconnect with family and with friends. Play a board game. Do some spring cleaning that you've been putting off. Go ahead and do it now. Try to find a reason to smile and to laugh. Hug a family member a little bit longer. And find ways to tune out the 24-hour-a-day coronavirus noise that is on television. You got to get away from it and give yourself a break. Hang in there a bit longer until we get on the other side of this thing. And with that, I'm going to take a few questions that have been submitted by the media. Yolanda Fernandez will be asking me the questions. Yolanda?
Mayor, our first three questions are from Josh Solomon at the Tampa Bay Times. Does the city plan to keep its bike share operating, and does it still plan to start the scooter pilot program?
So, regarding bike share and scooter what we're doing on those, let me start with the scooter program first. We are still planning on moving forward with the scooter program. There are some steps that have to occur, though, before that program even becomes ready to hit the streets. First and foremost, we have to reach agreement on a contractual basis with each of the providers, and we have to bring those agreements to City Council for their approval. Next week will be our first virtual City Council meeting. So obviously we haven't been in a hurry to get those first couple steps done because we couldn't bring these contracts to Council for their approval. Once we get Council up and running and into a rhythm, we'll then be able to bring that forward to City Council, but we're taking our time right now because obviously there's some other issues that are far more important that we need to deal with and keeping our community safe, and then we'll bring those forward. As far as our bike share program, we are continuing the bike share program. We're finding out that the use obviously has slowed down significantly. About once to every 3 days now, we're seeing bikes that are being used and they are being cleaned frequently, but that is something like everything else that we're going to continue to monitor.
Mayor, does the city have a plan to shelter people who test positive but don't need hospitalization or who need to self-isolate outside their home due to exposure?
So the question again is, are we going to test people who are, do we have a plan for sheltering people who test positive but don't need hospitalization or need to self-isolate outside their home? The city is currently exploring non-congregating sheltering options for a variety of different scenarios. We're working closely with the county to identify hotels and other lodgings that would be willing to serve our citizens and the need that's described in the question. This would include those that do need to isolate away from their households and have no other housing options. So we're working with the county closely on making sure those options are available.
Does the mayor plan to lift the city's state of emergency in tandem with the governor and or the county? And if not, what metrics does the city need to hit to feel comfortable lifting the state of emergency?
So do we plan to lift the state of emergency along with the governor and the county? And if not, what are our metrics that we would be looking at to do that? First off, as far as I know right now, we've heard nothing of the county or the governor talking about lifting our state of emergency. And that certainly is not something that is on our radar right now, nor do I expect it to be any time in the near future. All of the decisions that we're making, from whether we would lift a state of emergency or put even greater restrictions in place, are all going to be based on data and science and the medical experts that we rely on so heavily at this time. And we'll continue to do that in making decisions about what's in the best interest for the residents of the city of St. Petersburg.
Now we have a couple of questions from Dan Maddox at Fox 13. What is the city doing to prepare for the surge? Specifically, are there any facilities being prepped to be makeshift medical facilities?
Certainly, if you've been watching the news, you've been hearing about the surge that is expected to be coming here in the Tampa Bay area, in St. Petersburg and Pinellas County, as it's happening around the country. The data that we have thus far suggests that we do have available hospital beds, and the availability of those beds would not be a problem. However, ICU beds and ventilators are something that we are monitoring and trying to make sure that we are in a good position related to both of those things. So we are working with the county health to make sure that the issue related to ICU beds and ventilators is addressed. And the county has, in fact, also identified backup facilities in the event those become necessary, too. So we're on top of it.
How's the city on having enough PPE for first responders?
Yeah. So police have PPE and additional masks for all its officers. Our fire rescue folks have enough PPEs for the immediate future. But really, in both cases, we are working with both vendors and the county and state to acquire more PPE for future use. From our perspective, we want to make sure, because we don't have, you know, there is no end that we can stick a pin and say, okay, that's the end date. And so we are trying to be as conservative in the way we approach this as possible and make sure that if this goes out beyond which we hope it does, that we are in a good position when it comes to PPE. So we're going to continue to work with our partners, with the county and the state, and our local vendors. All right. And I think that was the last question. Again, thank you, St. Pete. Let's keep our heads up, our chins up. Let's follow the rules. Let's remember we're safer at home, and a brighter day is coming.